call the meeting to order at 3:38 and call for an approval of the March 2021 agenda. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
I move and second and vote yes.
Okay, point of information, am I allowed to second or do we have Dr. Zendel, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer?
No, you can say, I was joking.
You were joking. easy enough to fool me. Okay, we'll accept your second in this, in light of your creativity and move the agenda. Public comment is welcome at this time. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda and that are of public interest and within the subject matter and jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and action there too.
Public on the meeting.
No, there's no public. It's just us district folks.
Thank you. I'd like to call for an approval of the minutes.
So of moved.
March, and I will second that accordingly. So the CEO report, Dr. Conrado, please.
No report at this time.
Thank you, sir. Chief Operating Officer, Chris, if you will.
Thank you. An update on the landscape renovation project over at the Las Palmas Medical Plaza. If anybody has been by there recently, it's really starting to take shape, really looking good, I think. It was looking pretty rough for a while with, everything tore up and that, and they were a little bit delayed, still are, but things are progressing nicely. One of the major challenges that they've had is being able to dig out the root balls for those tall, date palm trees at the entrance. And, I was by there a couple of days ago and it looks like they've been successful in getting those dug out. So they're getting closer to completion. And it's really looking good. So if you have opportunity to drive by there, please check it out. And you can see where our taxpayer dollars have been going recently. So also with regard to our budget process, we will be in the process of starting that. Our intention would be to bring a draft budget to the May F&A committee meeting. That will be, I'm not sure how it coincides with our strategic planning and that, but we'll be working with Conrado in connection with strategic plan. So additionally for the Las Palmas Medical Plaza, the rent status there, the tenants are pretty much status quo. Still have three suites that are available for renting. The couple of transitions that we've made or adjustments that we've made recently, one being the credit card tenants or customers. Eric's been doing a great job in getting those converted over for those that are moving away from the credit cards, and those that have decided to stay with, we are charging them the 2.75% fee that we would be normally incurring. So we'll see that expense taper off on our income statement. The other was the CAM fees increase that we discussed last month, increasing from 62 cents a foot to 69 cents a foot. We have not received any negative feedback from that and starting to see the increase payments from that as well. That's all I have on the CAO report.
Okay, I have a couple of questions, particularly line item. There's a rent increase. Is that just in the normal course of business that occurred? The 4,500, was that account 4,500?
What page are you on, please?
I think it's page 12.
Well, we can get to the financials. That was just the CAO report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
If you want to move to the financials, on page 12 is a good page for us to look at. It's a nice summary of where we're at financially. So what question did you have there?
Let's start with 4,500, the increased revenue of 38K. Is that just normal rent increases that work into the system?
Yeah, you know, it comprises, you know, some of the tenants with their annual increases. There's a 3% increase involved there. And, you know, but part of that is due, most of that is due to where we were projecting a little lower rental income with potential concern about COVID and the effects that that might have on tenants. So,
that didn't materialize.
Correct.
Okay. How about on was it line 6,000? You report lower bank and investment credit, investment fees. I recall our investment bankers, you know, volunteered a decrease. Did we also get such consideration for the bank, or is that all on the investment side?
That's strictly on the $60 million investment account
Okay.
that we have. You know, the other bank fees that we have on the district are essentially transaction type fees, you know, with
the okay, offer. But they didn't offer us any discount in a manner similar to the investment bankers.
No, they're
okay.
Yeah, they're just okay. Regular transaction.
Regular fees. Transaction fees. Okay. Any other concerns about page 12?
No, it's just, you know, it just shows that our investment account on line 4,000. What, you know, we've been experiencing all along is that the investments are not performing very well from the bond side of things, as Keith Stribling had expressed. Our property tax revenues are up from our budget by $670,000. And then direct expenses are lower, as we've experienced. Most of that is due to vacancies in our staffing.
Right.
And then just a lot of lower overhead just because of the COVID.
And the grant is just a timing issue, I understand.
Yeah, and our grants expense is, we still have $2.4 million that we're working with regard to the balance of the year. And program committee is working on developing grants and other considerations for that funding.
Thank you. Any other questions about that? Page 12, 13. 14, on page 15, I'd like to draw your
attention. On line 6,500, and first of all, I apologize for being late to the meeting.
I know.
But just on line 6,500, I know that we've talked about this one in the past, but I know that we had lower than expected costs because of the election, right? That was that the 546,000? Was because of the savings that we had
That's because we have had projected expense for consultants, like for the hospital lease and all of that. And it's been, so, you know, that's been delayed. You know, if we incur any expense on that, it will be the latter part of the year and going into the next fiscal year.
And the savings on the PR communications expense, was that something that we had planned on doing that we didn't do?
We had budget there. If we were, you know, needing to, you know, spend for, you know, any marketing reasons, but nothing specific that we just didn't do because for any reason. So
thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris, on page 15, category 6,000, the G&A expenses, you got them all down. So my question is, when you budget for next year, are you going to try to bring this closer to zero, or are you going to build in some headroom, so to speak, to give you this same kind of flexibility going forward?
Well, I mean, one of the things we got to consider here is that the COVID deal impacted a great deal of these expenses and
right.
very favorably. I mean, one in particular is, travel expense, $6,351. I mean, you know, we have zero expense and we budgeted year to date $15,000. So, you know, we have several of those line items that, are just that.
I think you have to look at each line individually as you do the new budget and see.
Right. What, yeah. And we're planning the budget. I mean, we do a zero based budget. We just start with each line item and, you know, predict what we believe that the budget's going to be for the new fiscal year. So.
And there will be, by the way, there will be new things, as long as we're talking about the new budget, there will be things in the 2021-22 budget that were not in this current year budget. For example, we'll be doing election redistricting, rezoning, or whatever it is. Not rezoning, but
the rezoning, redistricting.
And that's going to cost money for certain things. Right. So you have to start from zero and say, what do you need? Not necessarily look at what right. you spent last year.
Correct.
Chris, line 6355, computer service expense as opposed to capital. What expenses generate that?
Well, we have our monthly computer IT guy that has a monthly fee. One of the large components of that we have not incurred the expense for yet is the Black Cloud annual renewal, which is about $16,000.
Say that again. I didn't hear you, please.
Our grant program application, our annual renewal on that is about $16,000.
And that's for software?
Yes, the software for all the grants.
For grants, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we buy that or are we locked
in? That has not been incurred yet, so we will experience that expense within the next couple of months.
Well, thank you. Any other concerns?
Excuse me, Chair. Donna has a question.
Go ahead, Donna, please.
Well, actually, just wasn't a question. It was getting back to the previous one with the grant balance. We did have presented to program committee today, which will be bringing forward to the board $450,000 in new grants. Just to
okay, thank you.
Let you know that little balance might go down a little bit.
Thank you.
And I have some questions about that when we get to page 33.
Okay, do we have any other questions on page 16, 17, 18, balance sheet? Basically, we're in stable mode, which is good. Page 18. 19, page 20. Wait, I have a question on page 22, which is on the aging. And it's just really an informational question. The Desert Healthcare Foundation aging, is that just money transferred between us, Chris? Or is there something I'm missing?
Well, a majority of our, like all of our salaries, staffing, overhead, a majority of that is paid through the district, but we do have functions that we operate through the foundation that we're utilizing the same staff for. So we do an allocation of overhead costs to the foundation. So it creates a receivable on the district's books and a liability on the foundation books, and then the foundation pays the district periodically for.
It's a bookkeeping. It's really just a reflection of a bookkeeping transaction.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions about the aging summary? The deposit detail through page 30. On page 31, if you wouldn't mind, I I'm unfamiliar with check. Let's see, where is it? These are all, let me just ask it this way. These are all grant pay, distributions.
On 31, that's for the medical plaza. So Matthew Jennings is our property tax payment.
Okay. Okay.
On the medical plaza.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions about the check register? I noticed that on page 23, we have three additional retirees. So we're slowly working the balance down.
That's correct. Yeah, I think we've had, we're starting to see a little bit of movement, but.
Right. Okay. I have a question about the RAP presentation, but do you want to make that before I ask my question?
Excuse me?
About the what?
The RAP office agenda.
Oh, well,
we're still going through the financial.
Let's go through the.
I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at Andreas.
Any questions about the grant payment schedule?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can I ask some questions about page 33?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. And I always do this every month, and I want to make sure I have this right. So according to page 33, so far in this fiscal year, we have distributed about $1.8 million worth of grant payments, correct?
Yes.
Chris?
We've done $1.6 million of new grants.
Okay, but that's $1.6 million of new grants?
So that's, okay, I'm sorry. Total paid, we've paid $1.8 million. But you got to keep in mind that's also on grants that were awarded in prior years as well. So that's what's been paid on all outstanding grants is $1.8 million. Under the current year column, the second column of numbers, we awarded $1.6 million of new grants.
Okay, $1.6 million of new grants, okay.
You've distributed $1.6 million. Is that what you meant when you said awarded?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch you, Arthur.
You said awarded. Do you mean distributed? Paid out?
No. You got to consider on this chart or this this schedule, there's a mix of grants that have been awarded in prior years that have balances that are being paid on in the current year. So if you look at the upper section of that schedule, in the current year column, the second column of numbers, that's blank. So it means that the first column of numbers are grant balances that carried over from prior years. And there's payments that are being made in the red column against all outstanding grants. So the 1.8 million of that red column is all the disbursements that have been made during this fiscal year. But that's on a combination of prior year carry forward grant balances, as well as new grants that were awarded this year. And that's the 1.6 million that's in the second
column on the bottom
numbers.
Okay, thank you. Are you okay with that, Les?
Yeah, I'm still in the middle of asking my questions, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
We've paid 1.8 million. Of that, 1.6 million about is of new grants, correct?
No. Because you can see in the red numbers, there's only smaller portions of
Let me start over again, because I got lost on my stream of thought. Okay, 1.6 million has been committed for this fiscal year of new grants. Correct.
Correct.
Okay, now Of the 1.6 million that we've committed for new grants, you see, this is why we need a better way of tracking this, you know, so that we can say, okay, 1.6 million has been committed. Of the 1.6 million has been committed, X number of dollars has been paid out from this year, and X number of dollars have been paid out from last year. We have Y number of dollars so far. If we wanted to commit the rest of this fiscal year's budget, how much is left to do?
Okay, that? So that's a good answer right there. So let's go right below the 1.6 million that we were just talking about, Andrea, if you
okay,
down
okay.
a little bit. Okay, so that next section there that has 2.4 million in it, that's, we have a $4 million budget. And so 2.4 million is the remaining that can be awarded from this year's current $4 million budget.
Okay. Somehow, this is not the first time you've told me this, and I'm not the only one that doesn't get this so easily. So I think there's some way that when we give the report, we need to say we have committed $2.4 million of our $4 million grant. And then, by the way, after the next meeting, when the program committee, as Donna said, we vote on how much, Donna, did you say? 400?
450,000.
450.
Okay, so then it'll be, we will have committed 2.850 of our 4 million, and therefore we have about 1.2 million left. I think that that's a number that the board, that the directors need to kind of understand month to month. And it's, for some reason, it doesn't come easily to me looking at this page. Now,
I think to that point, Les, I think, you know, if that's the number that we want to, I mean, it's a simple number to express and point out, and maybe we can highlight it a little more on this schedule to, you know, so that it stands out. 2.4 million is what we have available as of the end of March.
And maybe that could be the kind of summary, yeah. Just like you have a summary page of the major budget things, that could be, if you go back to page, oh, where is it? Page 12.
How about if we just highlight that 2.4 million and just have a description next to it that, you know, this is the remaining budget to be allocated.
Okay, but here under grant expense, see, this is why I'm a little confused, but that's because this is amortized over.
Correct.
Right. So you could say we've spent 1.6 million and although amortization shows that, you know, we budgeted for 3 million, the reality is there's X number of dollars left. Is that what that, no, that 1.4 million under budget, is that what that figure is?
No, 1.4 million is that we've under allocated based on this, a straight line. So there's expense of 9 months worth in that $3 million that's budgeted.
But that's a useless number to directors. I understand why you do it because it's an accounting number.
Exactly, and that's what you got to keep in mind. So the description there, the budget of $4 million, that's the $4 million. We've allocated 1.6 million of that. And I mean, we could say in there that, you know, there's 2.4 million remaining to allocate.
I think that would be helpful because right now, when we look at a financial, those of us that aren't CPA types, when we look at a financial, we say, oh, this is the actual and this is budget. It's either positive or negative. And the reality is because this is amortized, it doesn't take into account kind of what's left. Now you put it in there and it's good. You put it in there, the budget is $4 million.
All right, we'll add language there that says that there's 2.4 million of of unallocated grant budget for the fiscal year.
I think that would take care of the issue.
And then on the grant payment schedule, we will highlight that $2.4 million budget so that it stands out as unallocated or unawarded grant dollars.
I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Al, do we have any other concerns regarding the financials?
So it, I have a question. So if we're looking at after the, if the ones that got recommended by the program committee today get approved by the board later this month, then the number then that we're looking at, Chris, is 1.6. Is that what you were saying? Is that much?
No, it would reduce the 2.4 million that we have available per this schedule at the end of March. This schedule is as of March. So if the board approves 450,000, it'll reduce the 2.4 million to 1,950,000.
Yeah, that sounds that number, I don't know, somebody said 1.6 and I go, what happened to the several hundred thousand in there? So I must have misheard that number then.
It's okay. 1.9 million.
So wouldn't that increase the 1.6 column then plus 450?
Correct. It'll take that up to about 2 million and then the remaining is just under 2 million.
Right. 2 million, right.
Okay. And right now, do we have an idea of how many grants are in process right now that we anticipate? You know, we're in April right now. We still have May and June. So 2 months usually takes a couple of months before they get to recommendation stage, right? Do we have a lot of them that are in process, Donna?
No. We've got the applications are out. We're waiting for them to come back. We've got 100,000 for DAP. Lift to Rise is looking, still asking for 2.5 million. Coachella Valley Housing Coalition could be about 42,000. And the Valdama Pool, City of Coachella, would be another 100,000. Transgender Health and Wellness Center, they're asking for almost 400,000, but we have some concerns about that. We're waiting for the Center for Nonprofit Advancement's agency assessment to come through on that one. And that's really about it right now.
So if you take out the Lift to Rise one and if, the transgender organization, we're looking at maybe a few hundred, 500,000. So not, okay.
Another 200,000-300,000, yeah.
Okay, huh. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other concerns about the financials, the grant schedule or whatever? Is this an, I don't have my front sheet in front of me. Is this a, this is not something we need to approve. It's not an action, it's an action item. So I'd like to call for acceptance of the financial reports.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
So moved, the financial reports are accepted. We can now move on to the next item, the fire sprinkler system update, Chris.
Okay, so we've given information on this the last few months, and so we're learning more information as we go. We've had Chris Mills that the district has engaged with us doing the architectural design work of the project. He's come up with a rough estimate of about 250 to 300,000. It would be nice if we could get like a contractor to actually do a complete takeoff and estimate on this, but it makes it unfair for that contractor because when we do a public bidding process like this that's required, then that contractor is unable to do a bid because he's had an unfair advantage. So the architect is, you know, coming up with a number roughly 250 to 300,000 before it goes out to the public bidding process. So it's communicating to the committee that we're moving forward with the public bidding process. We're hoping then to have the bid results that we can present to the committee at the May Finance Committee meeting.
Did we anticipate that the cost would be as high as this when we talked about the sprinkler system upgrade?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually going to be anticipated to be roughly less, because if you see right in the middle of the bullet points there, where it says the individual suite installations traditionally have cost approximately $12 a square foot, with what meaning Chris Mills, is estimating, you know, it's roughly $6.75 to $8 a square foot is what the 250 to 300,000 represents. So, you know, it's a big number. It's a required city code that has been, you know, the city has allowed us to get by with this for years and years, but they have required, as we do new tenants or new leases, that we progressively get those fire sprinklers installed. It's just been a challenge to be able to do that on an individual basis, and more than likely more costly. So we're taking the approach to try to complete it in a more concerted process.
You ought to make clear in the background that this is to bring it up to code. This is not like we're doing it to be, you know, because we want to be nice. We're doing it because we have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the right thing to do, but we're doing it to bring it to city code.
Right.
Any other questions about this update, folks? Okay, then let's discuss the property management maintenance agreement, Chris, which is an action item.
Okay, so InPro Construction has been our property maintenance contractor at the Medical Plaza since 2017. They have been working there since then for $10,117 a month. They have not asked for an increase in that four-year period. They have asked for an increase at this point. They're doing, you know, in my opinion, a great job. One of the nice things about them, I mean, Rick, the principal there, he's been around for a long time. He's actually done a lot of, on a vendor type basis, work on the Medical Plaza over the past several years. They're very well liked at the Medical Plaza, asking for a 7% increase from the $10,117 to $10,825, and would like to recommend committee's approval on that. And just to point out too that one of the big differences between this current contractor and the one we had prior, the previous contractor, every little thing that they deemed was outside of the scope of work, they were wanting a change order for. Rick, almost everything that maybe comes up, you know, like a one-off kind of thing that doesn't have a lot of expense to it, he just willingly takes care of. So with it being a just an increase like this, we're not required to go out to a public bidding process, and we're allowed to provide that increase.
I move we accept the recommendation.
Second. We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Our motion is unanimously carried, and we'll move on to the RAP office project. Chris, please.
Okay, so.
Since this is an informational item, I don't have to step away, right? I can just stay and listen. I can leave.
My understanding was that you probably should, but.
You know. Okay, I'm going to recuse myself. I'm going to go videoless and not hear anything. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Chris, please.
Okay, so we've had communication over the last few months about building out a conference room at the RAP office that we lease. Just a kind of a rough dollar amount that was presented by Chris Mills, the architect at the at our last meeting, he thought that it would might be under 25,000. He has since received a couple of estimates on the what he calls the storefront wall, which is the full glass wall. It has, you know, the metal framing and the two doors in it. That that alone is going to be about $15,000 or $16,000. So he's just kind of throwing a ballpark figure that he thinks that will be under 40,000 at this point. So we're bringing that increase information to the committee. And also, when we look at that amount of expense to justify it or to warrant that increase or that amount of expense, currently we're in a one-year annual lease. Andrea, if you can move down a little bit to the lease information. So our lease terms is annual with three separate annual renewals. What would be a good consideration, and I think that RAP would consider it, I haven't approached them yet, would be to have the new renewal coming up for May 1st, 2021, and then adding four additional options to renew, which would make it essentially a five-year lease. It's unilateral, which means that only the district has the ability to decline renewing on an annual basis. So it leaves the flexibility for the district if for some reason we choose not to renew a lease in any of the existing or the future 5 years. So, it kind of turns then what would be a 40,000 expense that would be capitalized on our balance sheet, amortized over 5 years, equating to an annual expense of $8,000 a year.
I think so. We're putting the capital into somebody else's property, that we ought to get the maximum use of it. I think that how much are we paying lease to them?
It's $2,000 a month.
So they're making $24,000 a year from us. You know, I would try to extend it as long as possible. I mean, do you think that there's a possibility? Well, first of all, we can get out of it in a year.
Well, and that's why I proposed it this way, because, we can keep it for 5 years if we want it. And, you know, I have the flexibility of, for whatever reason, the board chooses not to renew. And I think as long as things are going fine after 5 years, you know, I don't see any reason why, you know, the board wouldn't extend that. But, you know, who knows what, things change, during that period of time.
I have a question. Chris, is there any, have we approached RAP to, since it's a permanent capital investment in their space, have we approached them to in any way share the cost with us? And or if they would share the cost with us, have some of it reflected in an increase in rental as opposed to us laying out the cash? Varying negotiating issues at all, if they have or haven't been addressed with them?
Have not addressed those specifics with them. What has been communicated with them at this point that they were acceptable to us doing the project. They would not require us to remove, the wall and any of the TI work that was done.
Would it be inappropriate to ask them to share in any of the costs?
Why would they?
Because it's their permanent property.
Well, but
then,
you know,
then like, be more likely to not renew it at the end of the lease because they, you know.
I think it just depends on what value they place in that conference room. And, quite honestly, if somebody's going to utilize that as a regular office, that conference room is a big square footage area for what would normally be an office space.
Office space. Okay, just wanted to raise the thought for discussion. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is just an informational item. So is there any other matters that need to come before the committee before we invite Letty back?
And so what I would do, or we would do, is, I'll reach out to RAP to, see if that's a lease that they would consider doing. I don't see why they wouldn't. And then we would bring back probably to the May board meeting. Since this is not work that's being completed on a district-owned property like the medical plaza that requires a public bidding. This does not require a public bid, but since we're using district public dollars, we will be required to use prevailing wages on the work that's completed there. So just an informational item with that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other new business to come before the committee? Is there a motion to adjourn?
We don't need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, and in favor, all in favor say aye. Aye. Do I hear an aye from the Z?
I'll reluctantly say aye, but we don't need a motion to adjourn at a committee meeting.
Why? We don't?
Let me text Letty to come back. Meetings.
Thank you very much for that information, sir. Okay, I'd like to adjourn the meeting at
just a second, Arthur, back. So that Letty can come back.
Okay.
Please. There she is. There she is.
We were just informed that we do not have to have a motion to adjourn, so you are welcome back to an active ongoing committee. Thank you. On that note, the meeting shall stand adjourned at 4:20. And the foundation financial meeting will commence immediately to follow. And I'd like to open that meeting at this point. As soon as my computer recognized the time, and this meeting shall start at 2:30. A call to order. All district representatives are present, as our staff.
420. And we have no members of the public here with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
I move we approve the agenda.
And so moved. Public comment is available, but there is no public present at the meeting, so I'll forego reading of the note of that commentary. The minutes of the March 29th committee are attached. Is there a motion to approve such?
So moved. Second.
Second and moved, and the vote shall be all in favor. Say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much. The minutes have been accepted as written. The CEO report, Dr. Barzano, do you have a report at this time?
I think the only thing I want to mention in my report is that we are in the process of getting the contract amendment with the county executed by the county that will bring an additional $1.2 million to the foundation. So we're happy to keep our partnership with the county and waiting for that contract to be executed by the county.
Thank you. Question, is that a permanent increase in our basis allocation, or is this a one-time distribution?
It is a one-time distribution.
Thank you, sir.
So this will be the third time that it'll be that we get the grant, right? It'll be the third time, 1.2 at each interval?
It will be the second time. So It's 2.4.
Is it fair to say that money is not encumbered by commitments at this time?
It is in part by regranting to other organizations, and some part is to benefit the foundation to cover our operation costs.
Okay, so this is the $240,000 worth of overhead that comes to us for operations, and the rest are committed to negotiated projects with the county.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not it's something that we've discussed in the past. Now it's coming to fruition.
Yeah. So the first $1.2 million we received, $240,000 was administrative fees. The second batch that we're receiving, there's $200,000 that's administrative. The rest would go to the grantees or the CBOs.
Great.
Thank
you. Why did it decrease for admin fees?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Why did the amount decrease for admin fees from 240 to 200?
I think so that we could give more money to the CBOs, which seemed to make sense, but I'm not sure if there was a specific reason other than that.
Did any of the other description change, or is it the same activities?
Well, the activities are changing from testing, which was the first round, to vaccines, to vaccinate in the community.
But am I correct in that we told them how much we needed in administrative fees? $200,000, right?
Pretty much, yes.
I mean, if we had said we needed $240,000, I'm trying to understand why it went from $240,000 to $200,000, and I think the reason is we didn't feel we needed it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Any other? Discussion of this point, review of the financial statements on pages 3 through 7. Are there any questions? I have one question on page 8 on the, I think it's page 8. Hold on. It is page 7. My question was is in the check register. Are there any questions about the financials? There was a check written to Todec Legal Center for $30,000. Is that a grant? And I'm just unfamiliar with the name, or is that something else, Chris?
Yes, so that's part of the $1.2 million that we're talking about.
Okay.
Pass-through monies, so that's one of the organizations that we're
okay. I just didn't recognize the name. Okay. Are there any other questions related to the financials?
The deposit detail on page 8 is the St. Paul Foundation. Is that for the Mecca Church?
No, that's there's an annual donation that we receive from this organization foundation in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Okay, so deposit. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
It comes from a former resident in the community that has left an annual donation to the foundation.
So have we bought the bench that we are going to buy for Mecca Church yet?
Could you repeat that, Leticia?
We already purchased the bench that we had decided to gift to the Mecca Church?
We are in the process of doing that, Leti.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions related to the financials?
Yeah, I have some questions on page 11.
Yes, sir.
Okay, again, I'm trying to understand this. So my reading of this is that the first column of numbers is money that we carried over from previous years of money that we had in those for those accounts. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so for all of those grants that show the balance in that first column were grants that were awarded in prior years.
Okay. And then in the next column shows monies received from those four organizations that total $735,000.
These are grants that are awarded to outside organizations that would be spent. Now, a caveat to that is the $400,000 for the Black communities And again, the 50 and 75,000, their grant funds that will be awarded probably in smaller components to other organizations and then spent down. So like One Future for 200,000, that's a specific grant to One Future.
So that money for One Future of the $200,000 that we have, what we voted on to give, first of all, it's our money, is that correct? It's district foundation money?
Correct. Yeah, it was okay. Money that was granted from the district to the foundation for granting out to.
Okay, and that's why it's in the black there. But we've spent of that 200, we spent 45,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the red numbers above are monies that we've spent that were monies that were in the account as of June 30th. So we didn't put any new money into that. Those accounts were already, those allocations had already been made. See, some of these are allocations and some of these are, they're all allocations. So they're previous allocations and all but the $45,000 that we've spent this year from the foundation came from money that we allocated last fiscal year. Is that correct?
As far as grants, yes, that were awarded in prior years.
As far as grants.
So essentially, I mean, I don't know if that's helpful to look at this as committed funds in the black. The red is expended funds. So the black is funds that are committed that the foundation has been approved by the board to spend for the purposes that are on those line items.
That's why I was questioning the upper black column of the balance of June 30th, because some of those, for example, the Behavioral Health Initiative Collective Fund is money that we moved from the district to the foundation last year, or was carried over from last year to spend. It was district money, and of that we spent $150,000 this year. Yeah. Correct.
Well, the original $2 million was granted from the district to the foundation back in 2018.
Okay, so but then other things like the Avery Trust was not given from the district; it was given by somebody else. So it's money that's in that account.
When you say account, it almost makes it sound like you're saying that's in a bank account for that. Now we have the money in our bank accounts to support the commitment that we're making on this grant payment schedule.
So I used the wrong term, account. But that's money that is designated for use. I mean, the Behavioral Health Collective money was transferred from the district to the foundation on the proviso that it would be used to make grants for behavioral health care related issues.
Exactly.
The Avery funds were given to us years ago, and this is the balance of 1.9 was what was left in that fund, for lack of a better word, in June, and of that we spent $150,000 so far.
No, the Avery funds is 919 and we've spent 100,000.
Okay, I'm sorry, right. And then for example, the Galilee Center is money that we allocated that was funded last fiscal year, but we gave the money this year, 7,500.
Yeah, so the 7,500, there was a grant in the prior year. Actually, it went back to May of 2019. Probably for $75,000, and all but the $7,500, which is the retention amount, has been paid to them prior to June of 2020. So the $7,500 was then paid out in this year, which leaves a zero balance.
Okay, so the positive money that's in these different funds, some of it came from the district, some of it came from outside people, right?
Correct. Yeah, the foundation
and the only thing that would count against the $4 million district grant making would be money that we this year move from the district to the foundation for a specific project.
Now that's on the district side. So there's some money that's in the grant budget on the district side that was granted to the foundation as a recipient. Now on this schedule, and we'll do the same thing, we have some grant budget on the foundation income statement. And so the balance available for grant programs is the bottom number, the 730,000. So that money could be granted out from the foundation if
in addition to the needed.
And some of that has to do with, you know, we have a $300,000 a year that we have committed what used to be called earmarked for East Valley funding. We've kind of taken away that East Valley funding description, but we have had a $300,000 budget each year to commit to additional funds for needs that the foundation would be responsible for.
Since we're spending far more than $300,000 a year on programs and projects that affect the East Valley, is that no longer a needed?
But the reality is we're not spending our internal foundation money. We're spending a lot more, but it's pass-through monies that are coming from the.
What about? Oh, I see. So it's not, none of it's are we keeping track somehow of district money that's being spent in the East Valley? Not that I think we should, but since we're out on the foundation side here, we have an East Valley designated fund. Are we keeping track of that?
Yeah, it's being kept track of. Now, you know, the issue is you know, are there opportunities that those monies can be awarded or granted to organizations without going out and soliciting, you know, because AB 2019 to, you know, grant those monies to? They're in our budget to be able to do that, but they're not being utilized per se, because
this is a new issue that I'm hearing for the first time, that somehow money that we spend from the foundation isn't subject to the AB law. Why are there echoes here? I'm hearing echoes.
Well, it's subject to AB 2019, but meaning that we can't go, you know, solicit that, you know, hey, grantee, you come in and because we have 300,000, we want to give you some money. If it's available in our budget to do it.
Well, what was the point you were trying to make that somehow it's different than money that would come from the grant budget, district grant budget?
So there's two separate entities. So we have the 4 million of budget on the district books. We have some money that we put in the foundation budget of 300,000 that can be granted under the foundation. And like I say, originally it was considered specifically for East Valley when there was the, you know, the designation that needed to be kept separate from district monies.
So we really have $4.3 million a year of grant money to give, and we want a minimum of $300,000 of that, which of course is kind of silly, to go to the East Valley.
And that, if you recall, came from, you know, back in 2018 with the expansion deal where
I know where it came from. I want to know how it's relevant now and how we're going to use it. We have an item here on the books that, you know, CPA types understand, but the directors, I don't understand. I'm not going to speak for the other directors. I don't understand how we consider spending that $300,000 that's designated for the East Valley as part of the $4 million of grant money that we have budgeted a year. How do we know, how do we advertise it? How do we understand ourselves as directors that it's not really $4 million we have, it's $4.3 million a year?
Well, don't you recall as well, Conrado, when we put those buckets together, you took that 300,000, we added another 300,000, I think, as one of the fifth focus area that is to be used for collective funds that would benefit basically the whole valley, but again, to the East Valley. And then the board had also approved that, and because Jeff Scott said it was okay that we could use district taxpayers' funds for the whole valley. So
yes, all the funding is available to the entire valley.
Yeah. So
I agree. So that's why I'm saying, is this designated East Valley $300,000 a year still a relevant?
It's a relevant number, but it can be used district wide, just like district monies can be used district wide. It's just that we have budgeted monies on both the district books as well as the foundation books.
How do we expect the public to understand this if the directors don't understand? Letty, help me here. Am I the only one that's dense about this?
No, I'm learning as you're asking good questions. But I think the way I understood it is that when we had the need to actually track the East Valley, that we had a need for that designation of the 300K. But in reality now, except that last year when our CEO did make a good case that we should have it as a collective impact, collective fund to be used district wide. But in reality, we don't need to do that on a regular basis anymore. We don't even spend it down when we have it. But if there is a need, we could always transfer money over, but to make it simple, it should just be 4.3 on the district side that we have available a year instead of 400 district and 300 foundation.
Well, one thing I think for transparency purposes is, you know, that the commitment was made by the board back in 2018 to do 300,000 a year for 20 years. Now, if that's changing, then to me, I think the board should acknowledge that somehow so that we don't continue forward with that 300,000 each year.
Chris, maybe you can add the money into the appropriate column and just put an asterisk that it reflects that 20-year commitment at this and this level, and it doesn't generate new numbers that apparently could be
missing. Well, and I personally agree that it doesn't need to be committed every year because, you know, the issue has changed or the dynamics of it have changed. Yeah, well, but I just think for transparency purposes that there should be a communication from the board to the public that says that that's no longer a requirement or a necessity versus
Chris. Can I suggest that Chris, you and Conrado talk to Jeff about the best way to handle this from both an accounting and strategic PR issue and legal so that we don't find out where we needed to do that and we can't change it, whatever.
I think we're making it too complicated. Last year we redesignated the funds from the previous year, and this year we just go back to the board and we just decide that we explain it that this year we don't need to do that. And so we really don't even need to do it on a 18 more years because the conditions have changed, the environment has changed. So why do we need to complicate it by involving our attorney when I think what Chris is just saying is that for transparency's sake, we just put on the agenda and we take board action.
We have to look at the resolution though that prompted this. It was a resolution. So again, I don't know if a resolution is different than the board passing something in terms of legal. I just don't know.
But that's my, that was my recommendation, to reduce to a footnote, so that you can argue that you've disclosed it and it doesn't confuse the imaging of the actual numbers. And it just recedes into the background with notification and transparency.
I think,
yeah, especially those of us on the
finance, do a new committee resolution to rescind the previous resolution if you want a null void resolution.
But I'm going to see it. I want to see it disappear from the finance report, because as finance committee, we have an obligation to understand every line here, I think. And you may have to explain to us 5 or 6 times before we get it. But if another board member not on the finance committee, you know, we ought to understand what that is, and is that money available to spend, and who determines how it's spent?
So I was kind of half kidding when I said that it takes a resolution to null and void a previous resolution, but because there is a process here, Les, I think it would be a good idea to do a resolution so it stands out a little bit more than just an agenda item. And the resolution is that whereas previously we had this fund, and to explain the history of it, and then to explain why it's no longer valid or necessary, and therefore we're taking these steps.
And remember, LAFCO was involved too. So again, we did make certain commitments. So we need to, if we are going to change it, we just need to make sure we have all our bases covered.
You make a good point, Les, because it was tied exactly to the LAFCO resolution to expand the district. So
I have a good memory.
Okay. Any other concerns about this matter that have not exhausted the subject?
So the direction is that we'll have our CEO explore it further on how we can address it to clear it up with. We determined that it's not necessary, right? So that's the direction.
So we won't build that into the annual budget next year, okay. And then we'll look to, I think, asking Jeff, what's the best way to nullify the prior resolution
and document it. Yeah,
right.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, Chris. Item on our agenda is a discussion.
Could I ask a question, please?
Yes, please.
Chris, are you waiting for the executed MOU from CVAG before you booked the $500,000 in the matching grant for homelessness?
It's part of that actual $700,000 that's there under the homelessness.
You added it in already? Okay.
Well, that's what's remaining, is that 700,000 number.
And yeah, but then the board approved another 500, remember?
Not on top of that, but it's part of that, correct?
What are you looking at? Where do you see 500,000?
No, we don't have it yet. But remember last month, the board approved the $500,000 matching grant to CVAG for this upcoming, starting April 1st, going through.
But it was coming from this collective fund, correct?
Yes, that's right. Because you're right. We're adding 500. Okay, my mistake. I apologize. Correct. That's right. The 500 is going to come out of that 7-Eleven. Okay, correct. Sorry. But you're waiting. You're waiting for the executed MOU to come back. The signed MOU from CVAG before we deduct that.
No, we'll deduct it from this schedule when it's actually paid. We have a separate schedule that's tracking the detail of the of the homeless fund. So it's
okay. Got, you know, all there you go.
Are you expecting another 500K?
No, the schedule is accurate as it is. The 500,000 that Don was talking about is a component of the 700,000.
Got it. Okay.
Taking out of that.
So we'll have 95,000 remaining. Or is that an 85? Whatever that number is.
On the far right.
95. Okay, I made it bigger.
595. So yeah. So
590, right. Okay. We have any other concerns before we move on to the discussion of the consulting
And actually, Donna, that this is a good point that, you know, and it's another component that we added to this schedule. If you look down about in the middle of the page where it says uncommitted, right, almost smack dab in the middle of that page. That so yes, thank you, Andrea. So if you look under the uncommitted column there for the West Valley Homelessness Initiative,
right.
So what we're saying there is of that 595, you know, the 500,000 is taken out of that. So essentially there's 73,000 of uncommitted dollars that could be additionally committed or spent.
Okay.
So if we have an ask for like a summer program, that's, we would start with that maybe.
Correct. It could come out of those funds versus having
pooling funds. Yeah.
That's a good idea. Additional funds.
For June. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Have we satisfied this agenda item, ladies and gentlemen? If so, Chris, do you want to introduce the consulting services agreement with my Duarte Strategy Group, please?
Conrado, do you want to do that or do you want me to? Either way is fine.
John, can you do it, please?
Okay. Okay. So out of the vaccination events, they're really growing. There's Alejandro's, you know, working his tail off out there. We're doing, I think, two or three events a week, and some of them are over 1,000 vaccinations at each event. There has been a need to increase some efficiencies out there. So there's an individual that has created a registration, an online registration tool that is being utilized at these vaccination sites. So what we'd like to do is create a consulting agreement with My Duarte, or MY Duarte Strategy Group that has been, developing and implementing this online registration tool. And we'll also be troubleshooting and providing support at each of the vaccination events. And so
the tie into the state system or the county system of registration?
I don't believe that it does, but Conrado.
It uploads information to that system but it's tailored to our needs here in the community, because those systems are almost impossible for folks in our community to access. So this creates an intermediary system that allows us to track those clients, since we don't have access to the state system.
No, I understand, right? but when we do the vaccine to that person, that person's information has to be uploaded into the state system. Does it, somebody else have to enter it separately?
This does it.
Good. Okay, thanks. That's all I want to know. This is a great idea.
And the nice thing with this too is that it allows tracking and scheduling the second appointments for the recipient. So it's proving to be a very good tool. And so we're asking the committee to approve the consulting agreement not to exceed $25,000.
So moved.
Question. When the sun sets, do we own the system?
Yes, we do.
Consultant.
We own the system. And we'll have access to the source code to the extent that we wish to change it or modify it for another potential use in the future.
I believe so. We can look into the contract clause for that.
Specifically, we need to have access to the source code and the authority to modify it to anything you want it to be.
Well, then it's more than a consulting agreement then.
Well, they're developing software. So there's a product. There's a software.
I thought it was already developed and we need help implementing it.
My understanding that the consultant will do the development and implementation.
It has been developed, and part of the 25,000 is a $5,000 one-time fee for the development of the system.
So does the contract say we own the system and they can't use it for anybody else?
Does not.
I don't think so. And I don't think that we are in the business of developing and selling software.
I'm not concerned about them using it for other people. I just want the privilege and the flexibility. If tomorrow there's a new program that requires tracking farm workers or any cohort that we have in our world, that with our, we have the privilege to take that software and use it at our convenience. What they do with it is irrelevant to me. But that needs to be clarified to make sure we have access to the system, to the software source code when the contract expires.
I mean, I could see if it's a software that could be perceived having long-term benefit. I'm not sure that it does beyond the COVID situation, but.
Oh, I can't. Perhaps. Good example. What if next year there's an extraordinary, unique flu strain that requires a secondary flu shot? I'd like to be able to use that same software to track that as an example. And, you know, that's just talking off the top of my head. So I can't imagine that there might not be other potentials in the farm worker community where their access is so limited that we can't apply this if and when we need it. That's all. I just want the privilege of it. I'm guessing at the opportunity, but I'm looking at the privilege. So I think that just needs to be clarified, and I would not expect them to have any problem with it.
Yeah. On a separate note, I'm just wondering, Conrado, I know that we're all very comfortable with the vaccines, and I love the fact that we have been so involved with this operation, but probably not part of this, but and maybe I shouldn't bring it up until after we vote on this. Is this a voting? It is an action. Okay. Well, I already started, so I'll go ahead and finish.
Yes.
Is there anything that we can do to encourage people to just gain confidence in the vaccines? I think people in the East Valley need to know that we are all about transparency, and encouraging any people that get vaccinated, that if they have any kind of negative effects, to communicate that information somewhere, maybe through this, I don't know. But I think it's all about transparency. I don't want people to get scared about booster shots. And, you know, already I'm hearing about the fact that the J&J, the Johnson & Johnson, you know, because of the fact that they put a pause and people all of a sudden start talking negatively about vaccines. It's making sure that if there are any negative effects by anyone, that they're able to share that information, because it's a benefit not only to our community, but to also the vaccine makers. So just wanted to throw that out. I know it's totally unrelated. But.
Yes, absolutely. And we have efforts in that direction, Letty.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't believe, but I want to vote in favor of this motion.
Second, do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Letty, are you?
Vote? I said aye.
Oh, thank you.
Aye.
Okay, the motion is carried. Chris, I have Conrado, I have a point of information, but I had the self-discipline to wait until after the motion was moved off the floor. Do you have any statistics or knowledge about the decline rate in the farm worker community? And if you do, is it going up or is it going down or is it holding stable? And is that an urgent issue for us?
No, we do not have a declination statistics. What we see is that the numbers keep going up to the tune that we have now increased the number of doses that are being distributed to 500 a day. So it's about 10,000 doses per month, what we're doing.
And what's the size of our population overall?
The size of the farm worker population is estimated between 22,000 and 30,000.
30,000, that's what I thought. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for addressing my concerns. Is there any new business to come before the committee before we do not take a motion to adjourn, but actually do adjourn?
No, you get to declare, Arthur, you get to declare it adjourned.
It will be declared in due time, Mr. Director, Dr. Director. But in the meantime, I would open the floor to any new business. Hearing none, I declare the meeting adjourned.
Wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I'd like to thank everybody for their acuity and their attention to detail today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you all. Have a good
Bye.
Day.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.